Praise God. And if you would turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 9, I'd like to begin this morning a series of messages that deal with healing. In fact, I've subtitled these messages Adventures in Healing, because the moving of and working of God upon our lives is an adventure. And this morning I'd like to begin by speaking on the thought of the blessing of healing. How many are thankful that God has saved our souls? And how many are also thankful that God gives us so much more, which includes healing, but also includes much more than that? There is a purpose, and God does move in our hearts and lives in a very powerful way. And in fact, we can see the work of God in all people. I met with one of my doctors this past week, and he shared with me, and I forgot to put it on our prayer list, so please remember it this morning. But I saw my doctor on Tuesday morning. He said, I'd like to share something with you. On Monday, there was a man who was hit by a car, or Sunday, rather. There was a man who was hit by a car you might have read about in the paper out on Washington Street. And he received some serious injuries, and thank God he's going to recover, although there'll be a lengthy process. But he shared about this, and he didn't know much about this man and about his life. But he shared how normally this man, when he goes for a walk on Sunday, which he often did, he went with his granddaughter, who was probably 7 or 8 years old, something like that. And last Sunday, the granddaughter, for whatever reason, said she didn't want to go on this walk. And unfortunately for this individual, he was hit by a car, but had his granddaughter been there, it could have been very serious, if not fatal, for her. And the response of my doctor in seeing this, that this was the hand of God. He first used the word providence, which isn't the city. But then that this was the blessing of God. God moves in people's lives. And he just doesn't move in the lives of those who know him. And specifically these next few weeks, this week and then next week, of course, Pastor James will be here, but the following 2 weeks, not just in the area of healing, but he moves in powerful ways. He gives these gifts of grace. We mentioned that at prayer time. Not just for believers, but also in the lives of unbelievers. Many time in the lives of those who aren't even looking for a miracle, or even expecting a miracle, God moves. And he moves for many different reasons. The primary reason, which we'll look at in just a few moments, is when God moves in a powerful way beyond and the greatest gift, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the saving grace of God in a person's life. That is the greatest miracle. Amen? The primary reason that God does these works of grace and power in people's lives is that it gives opportunity for man to give glory and honor to him, to see God, to see actually two things about God. Number one, that God is powerful, that he is beyond the natural world. You know, there are different things that man does not expect. When I say man, I mean mankind, because they are impossible. That's why God does impossible things, to let people know that God is out there, and he is a God of that he is beyond the world. He is the God of the impossible. With man, it is impossible, but with God, it's not things might be possible. All things are possible, and all things are possible to those who believe. So it gives an opportunity for not only people to glorify God, but to see God's nature. In this instance, or specifically, God's power, but also God's compassion. You know, when God moves in someone's life, you know, specifically we're talking about healing, but it is in many different ways. It tells us some wonderful things about God regarding his heart of compassion towards mankind. Number one, that he sees what people are going through. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night, Mary Ellen shared a wonderful testimony. There are a lot of people out there that no one pays any attention to because they're considered kind of the outcasts of society. You know, I think a good illustration of this in the Bible is a man named Bartimaeus. He was a blind man. And when he heard Jesus was coming, you might know the story. If you don't, it's a beautiful story of the love of God, but also a not-so-beautiful story of the heart of man. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he did that, people told him to, you know, forgive the expression, to shut up, be quiet. He doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And, of course, Jesus stopped everything. Blind Bartimaeus came, and Jesus asked him what he wanted, and of course, to see, and God granted him his sight. But when God moves mightily and powerfully in people's lives, he's letting people know that he sees what's going on. In fact, let me share, this is a very important part about healing, a very important point about healing, that being this. The healing is not just something that happens randomly or spontaneously in the world. Healing is a sovereign, willful act of God upon a human being's life. He sees someone who is suffering, and he moves upon their lives to reveal their suffering because he loves them and he wants to give opportunity for his name to be glorified. So healing shows or demonstrates not only God's power, but his compassion. It eases suffering to those who are afflicted. It, as we will read in our text this morning, brings people to a place of faith. And I've seen and experienced in my life when God heals, it not only brings the loss to faith, but it strengthens the faith of those who believe in him. It's something that brings glory and honor to God. But just like every other thing, and this will be the focus of the message this week, next week, or not next week, but the following week, the next two messages. Whenever God moves sovereignly upon a person's life, whether it's healing or deliverance or whatever it might be, it also exposes what's going on in the human heart, which is what this chapter is dealing with. Because as interested as God is in your physical body and your peace and all of those different things, the most important thing that God is concerned with in your life is your heart. And in this instance, and I almost left out one very important thing about these powerful demonstrations of God, they not only affect one person, and they're not meant to be something that is received privately and privately enjoyed. You know, just when God heals or God touches, just for me. They are something that, when God does things of this nature in our lives, they're to be shared with other people so that they might also know and be blessed. And so our text this morning is the account of Jesus' encounter with a blind man. Reading from John chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, as he went along, speaking of Christ, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him, but he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and so I went and washed, and then I could see. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Father, we thank you so much in Jesus' precious holy name for your goodness and the many gifts of your grace that you extend to us. We thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives and pray that you continue to move upon our hearts now as we look to your Word. May your anointing be upon this, your speaker today, and may you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And we ask this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Although there are some within the body of Christ, and they are in the body of Christ, they're people who love Jesus and who are going to heaven, but who do not believe, as the Bible teaches, that God is a God of healing. Let me tell you, my friend, today, we can be sure as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today that God is a God who heals. Healing is something that was promised in the Old Testament. One of the most common scriptures that relates to the entirety of the work of Christ on Calvary is found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. We read it often, and it goes like this. Regarding the sacrifice or the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. There's a number of things that happen to those, or a number of things that God brought to humanity when Jesus Christ came to this earth and left on this earth after he died, after he rose again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. As I mentioned earlier, chief of that is the forgiveness of sins. And we thank God that if you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, putting your faith in him, the Bible tells you that you receive his forgiveness into your lives and are forgiven of each and every sin and are given the assurance of eternal life someday. Most important part of God's saving grace. But there is so much more. Although we live on a troubled earth and we live in troubled times and face troubling situations, we can, because Jesus Christ died for us, expect peace in our lives, which the Bible describes as a peace that goes beyond understanding. This is a gift of God for us. So this is something that we can search for and we can also expect as we serve Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And the last part of this verse says, by his wounds we are healed. And that word healed is a very interesting word because it's translated into different English words in the Bible. It's a Hebrew word. And generally speaking, it relates to either wholeness or restoration. So another way that this verse can be translated, or this phrase in this verse can be translated, by his wounds we are made whole. Or we can also say, by his wounds we are restored. And don't we need all of those things in our lives? Especially, as far as the things that we've gone through, the hurts and pains that have robbed us of joy, some of the things, destructive behaviors that we might have participated in that have taken things from us. In Christ, we can be restored. We can be made whole in Jesus' name. But in many instances, and this also includes the dynamic or the grace of healing, that word, that Hebrew word, is used also specifically in cases of physical healing. And one instance of this is the king Hezekiah, who had a boil that was lethal. And the Bible tells us after he sought Isaiah and Isaiah told him to put a poultice of figs on that boil, he was healed. That's the same word there. So the promise of healing was promised to come through the ministry of the Messiah who would bring liberation to the world. In fact, did this not mark the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I don't know what God did more. He did a lot of things as he walked this earth. He taught a lot. He cast out demons. He performed many miracles, but he also healed many individuals. In fact, the Gospel of Mark, I think, has the most exhaustive testimony of the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went, starting right off in Mark chapter 1, he healed people of their afflictions. And this was something that he did, although he could have done in of his own accord, as he was, even though he was man, the Son of God. He did by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know this because when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lighted upon him or descended upon him. And then later on, after he went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil, when he went into the temple, he opened the Bible to the book of Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is in me." And one of the things that the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing, the Spirit or the anointing of God, what it empowered Jesus to do, not that he needed it, but as our divine example, not only our Savior, was to set at liberty those who were captives, to minister healing to those, sight to the blind, which is what, you know, we're talking about specifically this morning. So it was something that Jesus did by that power which he sent upon those who followed him. In fact, before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow those who believe. You shall, among other things, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And this healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was reiterated. It's not just something that Jesus demonstrated. And Jesus said might happen. But this is a message that the apostles also preach. Peter himself quoted Isaiah 53 in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, which reads, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." The apostles were not only individuals who preached healing, they demonstrated gifts of healings in their ministry. And one of the most, I hesitate to use the word bizarre, but I can't think of a better word this morning. In one of the most bizarre instances, people wanted to get into the shadow of Peter himself so that they may be healed. Does anyone have a spotlight here this morning? We'll try the shadow ministry. And God does this, and he's still healing today. In fact, do we not just, you know, reading what God is doing elsewhere, but in this church, have there not been testimonies of divine healing? John sharing one a few weeks ago, myself having stage 4 cancer being healed, and I know many of you have shared how God has touched you supernaturally. And there's a purpose for that. And it's not just, and let me tell you, God cares about you and he wants to touch you in your affliction. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment as far as how. And he wants to touch you because he loves you and he wants to ease your suffering. But there's a greater purpose in the healing work of God in our lives. In fact, let's read verses 1 through 3 together this morning once again, and see what God's purposes are in moving in such a way upon people's lives. "As he went," verse 1, "he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" Two things in this scripture. Number one, that God would be glorified. That not only in our hearts and displaying that joyful heart that knows that it's clean and that it has a sure future in heaven some sweet day, but also through this divine work of God's power and grace, letting other people know that God is real. He's alive and He cares. Expanding the opportunity for the name of the Lord to, number one, be known, and number two, to be praised. And this ministry of healing, as well as the other ministries of God's grace, is something that not only Jesus demonstrated so that people would know that He is the Messiah, but it is something that He has commended to His disciples, which includes you and me, not just the 12, as some may preach, but to all those who follow Jesus, because I think not only the briefest but most complete definition of a disciple is one who follows Jesus. And if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, that describes you. And we know this by reading John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. As long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me. This is Jesus speaking. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I don't think there's any time more than now that this scripture is relevant. What I mean by is this. Now, Jesus said He was the light of the world, but He only ministered for a very brief time, 3 years, before He died, rose again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. But the will of God was not for the light, and what we think of a number of things when we think of light, but just very briefly, we think the revelation of who God is and what God's plan is. That light, truth, was not. It wasn't just a three-year window for humanity. The ministry of the revelation of Jesus Christ was to continue. Because Jesus Himself said, I believe, forgive me for not having the specific text, but I know it was in the Sermon on the Mount, I believe, Matthew chapter 5. He not only says, I am the light of the world, He says, you are, or ye are the light of the world. This ministry of revelation has been given to us, but there's only a short time for us to fulfill this revelation calling. Amen? Because night is coming, and night is coming two ways. Night is coming, number one, because people only have a brief time on this earth before they go into eternity. Life is but a vapor, says the book of James. A blade of grass here today and gone tomorrow. But as we see in the troubling times that we live, this old world may not have much time left at all. Jesus is coming soon. How much more so do we need to be seeking the working and the moving and power of God's grace in our lives for men and women to see that God is real and God loves them. Now, having said that, God intends through gifts of healing and not only for His name to be glorified, but that also God would do a work in this man's heart. And this will be the focus of the message. We really won't get into too much of it today, unfortunately. Rather a long intro into this series of messages. But let me tell you this regarding the ministry of healing. Hear me this morning, because this is very important. God never intended the gift of healing to be an occasion for division or bondage in the body of Christ. Because some, and I think we know who's behind it, it's the enemy, have taken this wonderful, beautiful gift of God and have corrupted it to bring either division or bondage into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me share with you what I mean by that. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we all read that quite often. We think of it quite often. And it simply states this, all things. It doesn't say good things, it doesn't say bad things, it says all things, which I'm assuming means both the good and bad. All things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. One of the good things that happens in every situation in your life is for God to be glorified, including sickness. Whether you're healed or not, God will be glorified in your life. Because healing is not the only manifestation of God's grace in the life of those who are afflicted. Case in point, the apostle Paul. who was a mighty man of God, mighty in spirit and mighty in word, who not only preached the gospel, but through his hands mighty works, mighty miracles were done, including, and Paul had more mercy than I do, a man who fell asleep while he was preaching and died, prayed that God would raise him from the dead, and God did. Now, if you fell out a window, I'd pray for you, even if you fell asleep. Don't worry. But Paul had some kind of affliction in his life. We're not sure exactly what it was, and I think there's a reason for that. An affliction that he sought God not once, not twice, but three times four, earnestly sought God. That word besought has within it the idea of brokenheartedness. And God's response was a response of his grace and his power, but not in the way that the blind man that we read about in John chapter 9 received, but in a different way. He said unto me, my grace, reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know what Paul had going on in his life, but it was something that was distressing to him. And he sought God for deliverance. And God delivered in a way, maybe not in a way that he expected, but in a way that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified, in that God gave him the strength, even though he might have been mentally or physically or spiritually or emotionally weak. He was strong and mighty through the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the workings of God's grace in his life. It was just as powerful as God's healing work. And I say that not to despise healing. I thank God for healing, and we should seek healing. But in doing so, not despise those who are not healed, but who are equally receiving God's might and power and grace in their lives through his sustaining strength. And let me share with you an example of such a person this morning. And many of you know her. It's a young lady who is actually, I guess, a very athletic young lady when she was a youngster, but at a young age, broke her neck and was paralyzed from the neck down, Johnny Erickson Tata. And although she sought for healing in her life, that is something that God never extended to her. But despite everything that she's gone through, in fact, sometimes some very unkind things from people who should have known better, God has not only sustained, but caused her faith to grow and flourish beautifully, has used her life and her testimony to reach many people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying? We don't despise the sick. We don't despise the healed. We look for God in all of them because God is in all of them. Amen? This is the enemy's goal. This is the plan of the enemy. The plan of the enemy for those who are not healed or are not healed yet. And many times, you know, healing does not come instantaneously. It might be gradual over time or may come. Goal of the enemy is to think that you are less of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ because you are not healed. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. Don't receive it. You are loved by God. And if he doesn't heal you, he will sustain you with his grace. And even though you are weak, you will be made strong in Jesus' name. Which leads us to, then, we get back to our topic this morning. How should we then, as believers, go about, since 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, tells us to desire spiritual gifts, and one of the spiritual gifts, or many of the spiritual gifts, I should say, are their gifts of healing, not the gift of healing, their gifts of healing. How should we go about seeking those gifts, because God has called us to do so? And I would like to share with you this word of caution. There are many books that are written on the subject, some very, very good, and teachings and whatnot. But be very, very careful, because one thing man tries to do. I'm talking about Christian man. When it comes to the work of God's grace, we try to make it into some kind of formula or some type of work, some type of thing that you do, and if you do these things, then, you know, in this case, healing, or, you know, might be some other thing, you will be healed. Let me tell you, generally speaking, the gift of healing is a gift of God's grace, which means it can't be earned. In fact, not only does it mean it can't be earned, it's something that God gives freely. In fact, if we look through Scripture, there is no special formula to healing. And in fact, let's take a look at a few of them this morning. I've listed them out for you. In just one book, I mentioned Mark's Gospel. And if we're going to look at healing, we should look to the source, the healer, or the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see when he ministered healing, he did so in a variety of ways, some very, very unconventional. Just going through Mark, couple things. In Mark chapter 1, he said to those who were afflicted, be clean. In another instance, he just told the person to get up, Mark chapter 2. First part of Mark chapter 6, there was the laying on of hands, and that's something that we're commanded to do in Scripture. Later on in Mark chapter 6, Jesus sent out the disciples and commanded them to anoint people with oil, and that's something that James talks about and we do here in this church. Here are some of the more unconventional things. I'm not sure if they're things that you would like me to do as your pastor, but Jesus spit on his finger and touched the tongue of an individual who could not speak. In Mark chapter 8, he spit in the eyes of an individual. Mark chapter 10, he didn't pray for them at all. He said, go, your faith has made you healed. He just confirmed the work of God's Holy Spirit upon their lives. And in our text today, he made mud with spittle and smeared it in the blind man's eyes, and the blind man went out and washed and saw. I don't know about you, but that tells me that there's no one formula. You know, to do a certain, you know, if you don't anoint with oil, they won't be healed, or you know, not even talking about the spitting. In fact, there's another instance Jesus spit on his fingers and touched the man's ears. I don't want to say wet willy, but it's the thing that came to mind. I don't mean to make light of that this morning. Please forgive me. But what does this teach us about this gift of God's grace? Which just means it's something that God gives. Number one, this is truly, when it happens, something that does not come from man. It's not something that we figure out so that we can do. It's truly that something that comes both from the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you remember once again, healing is a sovereign, willful act of God upon an individual. He sees that individual's needs and ministers to that need. Secondly, there is no special formula. There aren't any special words that you can share. In fact, if we look at the life of Christ, and this has happened in my life, some people who were healed, like Bartimaeus, who were searching for healing, what would you want? Lord, I want to see, and he healed him. But others, like this individual that we're reading about this morning, wasn't expecting anything. In fact, that happened to James and John as they walked in through the gate beautiful to go into the temple and to pray. He was looking for a handout, and he got so much more. He received sight where previously he had been blind. Some people were seeking, some were not. Some were believers, some were not. At the final passage that we'll look at, it is a passage where someone receives healing and does not respond in faith, which there's something to be learned from that. And so what it all boils down to regarding the ministry of healing, it's something that we should seek God for God to have his way and to move mightily upon hearts and lives and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to be obedient, to move and to act as he moves. Amen? Which in one instance might be to lay hands and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. But in another instance, it might be rise up and walk in Jesus' name. You hear what I'm saying. There is no formula. There's just Jesus and the leading of his Holy Spirit. And in closing today, and the focus of the message, I know we've talked about a lot of things, but that was really just more or less a long introduction. what healing, or actually any manifestation of God's grace, because this is what God's will is for our lives. What it does, it exposes what is going on in people's hearts. Because the most important thing that God is concerned with is your soul. Once again, verse 3, our text, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened that the works of God might be displayed in him. Notice Jesus didn't say the work of God, the work of healing, the works of God. Because through this divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, beautiful things came out of this man's life. But in closing this morning, I'd like to share with you two things that generally happen when the power of God is seen. Reading verses 8 through 12, John chapter 9, the Bible says, his neighbors, this is the aftermath of the healing, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, is this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. We'll talk about this more. What I love about this, if this happened to me, I don't know if I'd be so forthcoming in how it happened. But this man was just so pure. The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know, he said. Two things happen, generally speaking, which is why it is so important that we demonstrate, excuse me, second sermon this morning, that we demonstrate the works of God, the grace of our God, the grace of God in our lives, publicly, so that people can see and begin to wonder, the initial response. And, you know, Jerusalem is just like any other town. And, you know, the town I grew up in Taunton, we had different individuals that everybody knew, and they're usually poor individuals or had some kind of handicap. Everybody knew them because they saw them. And in fact, if one was to die, it would usually make the paper. I remember in one town we were at, there was a man who was a homeless man. He died, and he made the front page of the Barrington newspaper because he had just been such a fixture. And I can't help but, you know, this is just my supposition, but I can't help but think this. Everybody knew this blind man and knew that not only that he was blind, but he was blind. You know how people, they like to get the story. That's why on the highway we all slow down when we pass an accident. Everyone knew he was blind from birth, and he faced a hopeless, impossible future because he could not see. Doctors had no hope for him. And all of a sudden, he could see, and they wanted to know what happened. Time is short. People need to know what's happening in our lives. Amen? But along with that, and this happens not only outside the body of Christ, but inside the body of Christ for various reasons. Not only was there a wonder or curiosity as far as what had happened, there was also, in the face of a sure and certain miracle, undeniable doubt. Once again, reading our text, verse 9, some claim that he was, others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. One of the greatest enemies, if not the greatest, in fact, I think it is the greatest, because it's the antithesis by which we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is faith. One of the greatest enemies of mankind is doubt. And in the face of this certain miracle, there was doubt. And you might be initially thinking, how could this man personally, you know, how could these people doubt such a wonderful and a beautiful thing? It's because doubt is part of human nature. And some people just can't get beyond their own reasoning. There has to be a logical explanation as far as why things happen. And we could see the whole cemetery on New London Turnpike, raised from the dead, and come to church on Sunday morning, and people would still refuse to believe it was a miracle. They'd think it was a hoax. What do they call those people? You know, that like believe the landing on the moon was a hoax, and this is a hoax, and conspiracy theorists. Yeah, always a conspiracy. But it also happens in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just from a point of envy, where someone, because either they weren't used or maybe, you know, they have an illness and they weren't healed and someone else is, they despise what God did, and that's not really what this is about. But sometimes when God does a work of grace in your life, and whether, you know, whether it's healing or whether it's something else, and specifically if God has spoken to you and moved you to do something, the biggest enemy of you fulfilling that call in your life is human reasoning, because when you start to think about it, you begin to second guess, was that really God? Did God really do that in my life? Was I really healed, or was it just, you know, the medicine I took? Did God really speak to me, or, you know, was I just kind of caught up in the moment? Be very, very careful of human reasoning. I mean, our minds are something that God has given us and can be used for His glory, but like anything that's powerful, it can also be a deadly weapon if misused. Don't for one moment allow your reasoning to doubt what God has either spoken to you or done in your life. And Henry, if you would like to come this morning, thank you for doing double duty today. We've talked about a lot of things this morning, but I would like to close with this. That being, I'm just to the point of almost being haunted by that scripture, verse 4, I believe, we must work while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. We only have a short time. And some of us, we're all getting older, and not many of us have many, many years left. I don't mean that to be mean or cruel this morning, but it's just a fact. How do you want to go out as a believer this morning? Do you want to go out? It's like the two kinds of firecrackers. There's the one you light, fizzles, and then explodes, and then there's, I won't use the word dud, but Michelle said it, the dud that just kind of goes in and nothing happens and everybody's just looking at it. Let me tell you, there's no one here, and you're not ancient, believe me, but there is no one here that is too old or has gone beyond the time in their lives where the works of God cannot be seen in your life. Let me tell you, some of the people who have profoundly touched my life have been advanced in years, have been in nursing homes, but you can still see God's grace in their lives. Time is short. We need to be seeking the work of God's grace in our lives. Don't be seeking deliverance from the things of this world. It's just going to make things work. Seek deliverance from God. Amen? Let Him decide how it will be ministered to you. God knows. Live that out. That man had no... All that man did was to share the truth. My name Jesus came, smeared mud on my eyes, and now I can see. And I think He's a prophet. He's definitely God. That's all He did. That's all that God's asking us to do. Are we open to the moving of God? And